Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Hello, 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 it's Garbled Twistery, and we are currently on Cruise Control, looking at events that occurred in between elections. Last week, we discussed some crazy freaking 1797 economic nonsense that ruined lives. This week, we're having a book club, a truly exquisite occasion indeed. So, before we get into the nitty-gritty, I figure I ought to give y'all a little background, because what's a good book without a good backstory? So, it is a super gothic beauty book written by the exquisite Charles Brockden Brown. Yeah, that's right. We're dealing with the big dogs. Edgar Allan Poe looked at this guy and was all like, I am not worthy. Like, this guy was out here writing book reviews and essays and history books and short stories and stuff. Charlie was putting in that work. And he wrote his first book that was... And he wrote the first book that was ever cool enough to make the New York Times bestseller list before the list even existed. The title, Birdman, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Wait, whoops, wrong title, wrong podcast. The title is Wyland, or The Transformation, An American Tale. So, without further ado, let's begin the book club. Chapter 1. So, there's this lady, and she won't stop talking about her rich grandpa or whatever, and he has some nice blue blood or something, so everybody in the fam got mad at him when he fell in love with some raggedy merchant's daughter. Apparently, Grandpa also turned into a theater kid and was singing unsolicited show tunes in the town square for no reason. And then the lady talks about her dad, who felt all sad all the time. But the only reason why he felt sad all the time is because he had a boring job. Then her dad read a freaking Bible, and he got all fanatical about it, so he never felt sad for no reason ever again, because Jesus. Then he became a priest, but he didn't like it because reading the Bible doesn't pay the electric bills. And he married some lady who was super quiet and weird all the time. And he started feeling sad for no reason all over again. And he thought he was going to be killed by a doorknob in the middle of the night or some weird nonsense like that. What? I don't even... What?
Chapter 2!
Okay, so now homegirl is like 6 years old and dad leaves the house and like doesn't tell anybody why. And when he comes back from wherever he was, he starts acting all weird and stuff for no reason. And then he gets a bunch of seizures and Uncle Timmy shows up and checks the pulse, but everything seems fine. So they put daddy in bed and mommy's all like, dude, what was that? Are you trying to give me a heart attack? And dad's all like, shush, I'm trying to suffer here. And he's staring at the clock and he's getting all sweaty and then he blows up. I'm not using a metaphor. Like, here's what happened, according to dad. He was praying and then somebody snuck up behind him, hit him with a candlestick, setting his clothes on fire, and boom, he blew up. And homegirl still can't tell if it was God that blew daddy up because he was a sinner, or if candlesticks just blow up when you hit people with them sometimes. What?
Chapter 3.
Okay, so in this chapter, we find out homegirl is actually a homegirl, but we still don't know her name, so we're gonna still call her homegirl. And homegirl tells us that after her daddy's weird death, her mom gets sick and kicks the bucket, so now she's stuck in the house with her stupid brother. Auntie did take care of them. And they weren't poor kids or anything. They already had a trust fund all set and stuff. And you know, they weren't all that miserable about having dead parents or whatever. They were pretty normal kids. Yeah. Homegirl also meets another homegirl named Kathy, who will become her BFF. Oh, and also Kathy and Homegirl's brother, they were vibing. They might be an item. It's a thing. So they grow up, and Kathy married Homegirl's brother, who had enough money to be the supervisor of the farm and not the worker on the farm. And they were like the Three Musketeers, y'all. Moved into their dead dad's house and everything. Yeah. Good times. However, Homegirl's brother is starting to act weird, just like Daddy, being all sad and thoughtful about Jesus and stuff. The only big difference is that Homegirl's brother reads a lot of cool books about science and life and stuff, especially that Pop Six Squish Cicero. In fact, he liked Cicero so much that he went and learned Latin. So Homegirl is sitting around one day, and Kathy's like, you just have to meet my brother Henry. He's gonna be in town this week. So Henry shows up, and he's really hitting it off with Homegirl's brother, talking about Latin and Roman people and stuff. Homegirl thought Henry was a pretty cool dude, even if he didn't talk about Jesus all that much. Chapter 4. Yeah, it's chapter 4. I don't know if you're supposed to know Homegirl's name yet, but for now we're just going to call her Claire, and we're going to call her brother Theodore. Whatever. 6 years happen, the Baguette and Powwow War happens during that. I mean, nothing bad happened to our homegirl Claire and her brother, and all it really did was get people talking at the dinner table. Kathy and Theodore had 4 kids, and the youngest was a boopy boopy little baby, and they also adopted some 14-year-old girl, because why not? One day, Claire and this 14-year-old are visiting their friend, Miss Bainting, and when they show up, some army man named Major Stewart also happens to be visiting and sees the girl and is all like, hey, what's your name? And she's like, it's Louisa? And Major Stewart's all like, hey, I'm your dad. Yeah, I married your mom. Then I went to Germany for war and stuff. But when I came home, all of y'all left me out to dry. Come back to England with me, Louisa. Come on. Yeah, I have a feeling Louisa's going to have to do a rain check on that one. So anyways, one day everybody's sitting in the house being lazy and a letter came from Major Stewart. Came, but like, it got left in a temple. So Theodore goes to get the letter and sees a freaking ghost and tells everybody, but Henry is like, nah, science, dude. And our homegirl Claire is all super worried and stuff because she doesn't want to believe her bro's going crazy like her dad, but she doesn't want to believe in ghosts either.
Chapter 5.
So Claire's talking to Henry, and he drops this bomb that her brother Theodore inherited a whole bunch of land in Europe. And apparently, Henry's been nagging the beeswax out of Theodore to go claim that nonsense. I mean, Henry loves Europe, but Theodore just isn't into that pishy-poshy-wishy-washy, you know? But Henry was also in love with someone who suddenly stopped sending letters to him from Europe, so he's probably just gonna keep being annoying about this. Come on, Henry. So yeah, Henry goes on a walk with Theodore, and Claire invites Kathy over, and the girls hang out. When the dudes come back from the walk, though, Henry's all like, oh, what's Kathy doing here? Rude. Anyways, the guests all leave the house, and Henry drops the news. His honey bunny is deady weddy. And for some absurd reason, Claire hears this and is like, this sounds like proof that ghosts are real. Please don't ask me how Claire came to that conclusion. Sometimes people in books are just morons. And also, she's glad that Henry's lover died. It's actually good news, apparently, because it saves him from a useless trip and keeps him safe at home with his friends. So yeah, now Henry's wandering around the garden all depressed or whatever, and her brother is hearing voices! Ruh-roh raggy.
Chapter 6.
Claire is losing her freaking mind about this next person she's gonna introduce to the story. Like, she hates this guy. Like, she doesn't even want to utter his name. Total Voldemort situation. Anyways, she's doing the dishes or some nonsense, and she sees some hobo in the street dressed in rags. Nothing special. She pays him no mind. But then he ends up chatting it up with the servant girl, Judy, talking about some can I have some buttermilk and a cup to get some water. Of course, Judy's not a meanie head, so she gives him what he asked for. But then Claire sees him, and he sees her back, and it's a really weird moment, and then he freaking leaves. And then she goes to bed, but she can't sleep because she's hearing voices coming from the closet talking about murder, and she ran all the way to her brother Theodore's house screaming and fainted at the front door. Conclusion: ghosts are totally real, dude!
Chapter 7.
So Claire can't stop talking about that creepy man, and Henry's making fun of her by treating it like a love story or something. So she goes for a walk and relaxes and falls asleep, and now the voices talking about murder in the closet are freaking back, and her brother is telling her to follow him, and the voice that was trying to murder her is now all like, hey, you remember your dad? Please remember your dad, okay? And then she wakes up and is really confused, but hey, ghosts are real. Later, Henry's all like, hey, Claire, remember that terrifying hobo from earlier? Yeah, he came over and we had tea and I invited him back tomorrow. His name's Carwin. He's a Spanish man from Spain. Wow. Some friend. Claire, you need to get your priorities straight, girl.
Chapter 8.
So, the next day, Claire goes to meet this Carwin loser to size him up, you know? And Carwin seemed cool and all, but he never talked about the past. He never talked about it. Even when Henry tried to trick him into talking about his past, he just made this look like he was smelling sewage and didn't say squat. Yeah, weird. Anyways, Claire starts talking about hearing these freaking voices, and Carwin doesn't treat her like she's freaking crazy, like she expected he would. He started talking about the brain, and rhetoric, and voice mimicry, and stuff, but Claire thought it was a load of barnacles. So yeah, a couple months pass, and Carwin has joined the party of this freaky D&D game. He be chillin'.
Chapter 9.
Theodore randomly gets a freaking book from Europe and decides to make it a play and start rehearsing. Sure, whatever. And Claire realizes that she kind of likes Henry and wants to put a ring on it, and she can't wait for the afternoon when Henry shows up. But he doesn't show up, and he always shows up. So now everybody's losing their minds, and Claire is all sad now because she knows if Henry was all into her, he would show up. And she was thinking about her dead dad, about if Henry thinking she likes Carwin has anything to do with anything. And this girl needs to try breathing. Anyways, she thinks there's a demon in the closet or something, and she reaches for it, but something screams in her ear. Also, apparently one of the voices said her brother is gonna end up killing her somehow, and she's all scared of Theodore now, and then Carwin shows up, and he's looking all weird and sad and stuff, and literally tells Claire that the reason he was hiding in her closet was because he was planning to hurt her in the most personal way imaginable. Yeah, stranger danger. She thinks about her escape route, and then realizes if he wanted to get her, he would have gotten her by now, and Carwin freaking runs away. What a weirdo.
Chapter 10.
So now Claire's going freaking cuckoo bananas, understandably. What would have happened if the ghost didn't tell her to check the closet and she just went to bed? Was he there trying to murder her the first time she heard ghosts? If so, does she hear ghosts or not? How did she know to check? What is going on? And whatever happened to the second voice? Is she or is she not in danger? This is crazy, y'all. And then she hears footsteps, and they're coming really fast, and she grabs a knife and waits at the door, but then they stop at the door. And then she's super ready, but the footsteps, they go to Henry's room, and then the door slams. Confused, homegirl looks out the window and sees Carwin. So she starts crying because she's sad about Henry not being her boyfriend and incredibly relieved about Carwin not being her attacker on this day.
Chapter 11.
Now Claire tried to go to bed, but that didn't work out because some lunatic next door was making an insane racket.
Yeah, turns out it was Henry, who has been howling all through the night and wants to have a chat downstairs with our homegirl Claire. And what does old Henry have to say? Well, he straight up tells Claire that he knows Carwin has ruined her, and it's a crime, and they both have to run away because Claire is a ruined woman, and Carwin is the one who ruined her. And of course, after saying all this cow-doo-doo nonsense, he literally runs out of the house. Literally. What a weirdo. So now Claire's over here thinking, first of all, how dare him? And second of all, is he doing this because he likes me? Yeah, she's clearly being bamboozled. Run, girl, run! No, 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 not to your brother Theodore's house! Aw, shucks. Great. Kathy's here. Hi, Kathy. Oh, nothing's wrong with Claire. Oh, you saw? You saw Henry run it? Henry's here? That's wonderful! Yeah! Kathy doesn't know anything yet, lol. But apparently, Henry went and told Theodore all this toxic nonsense. So now, when Theodore gets home, Claire has to convince him Henry's been lying on her. And Theodore's response? Quote, "You sound kinda crazy, but I'll believe you, sis. Whatevs." Unquote. So yeah, Theodore said that basically Henry said he overheard the creepy freaking conversation that happened between Carwin and Claire earlier, but he probably totes had some lady mimic Claire's voice, and Claire cannot believe Carwin would stoop that low, y'all. Jeez Louise, now Henry ain't never gonna be Claire's boyfriend. Chapter 12. So, now Claire's trying to go to Henry's farm just to, you know, smooth things over, but she's already feeling a little loopsy, and it's gonna be a journey, so she crashes at Miss Bantine's place, and, like, she's super worried, because she doesn't know if Henry's gonna believe her, and she also doesn't know if Carwin has some other freaky Jedi mind tricks he's gonna use to ruin her life. So, she finally gets there, but she faints, because it's stressful, y'all. But when she finally knocks on the front door, Henry shows up and is looking at her with that condescending, "I forgive you" face. So yeah, convincing Henry that Carwin's been lying on her is going to be quite the task. So the conversation starts with Henry being all like, "I used to really like you, but now I see that you're very idiotic." And Claire responds all like, "No, you're the idiot, idiot. Why are you believing that creepy hobo over me? I have never lied to you, ever. I can't believe this." And then Harry's all like, quote, "Well, I was hoping you'd ask for forgiveness, but you're really just a terrible woman, aren't you? I can't even stand to look at you." Unquote. Yikes. This causes Claire to straight up scream in his face and faint. And when she wakes up, Henry's all like, "Wow, I don't know what came over me. Whoa, wow, I'm sorry. Yikes." And then he leaves the room. This is some crazy nonsense, I tell ya. Chapter 13 and 14. These chapters just have to be switched together for the flow of the story, okay? So now, Claire thought maybe Henry's got his senses together, but then she saw the look on his face, which just looked like disappointment and rage. So the answer to that is nope. So Claire hits him with a good old 1-2, "Where's your evidence?" And Henry was all like, "Well, you seemed like a really rad gal at first. Everybody likes you, you have a beautiful smile, the works. But I mean, then you started talking about Carwin all the time. And I was getting nervous, because, like, he's a bum. And I thought you knew that. But I eavesdropped on a letter you were writing and saw the words summer house and midnight. It seemed pretty weird. I didn't want to talk to Carwin about it, because he's a weirdo. I didn't want to talk to Theodore either. So, instead I was going to talk to you about it after your play thingy. But while I was getting ready, I read in a newspaper that Carwin is a gosh darn escaped prisoner who literally murdered some lady named Jane and robbed some guy named Ludlow, and I wanted to rescue you, but I needed more evidence for you to believe me, so I went to the dude who wrote the article and found Ludlow's old friend, and he gave me all sorts of files and evidence that this guy may or may not know how to use voodoo dolls and hash browns and stuff. And I figured for this guy to join our friend group now, after what your family's going through, I'm pretty sure he's trying to ruin your life specifically, Claire." Claire interrupts and basically talks about how freaking upset she was that this bomb happened to target her. But Henry totally thinks he's telling her stuff she already knows because he's positive she's into Carwin and doesn't care about her honor because he literally overheard her say that in the darkness of the night. So yeah, at the end of this spiel, Henry's all like, I'm leaving your trifling Tuchus behind forever. Have fun living in sin. And he dips. Leaving Claire alone with her thoughts about how worthless her life is now because of all of these crazy freaking men. Then she went back to the city. Chapter 15. So Claire decides to go back to Miss Bantine's house just to get a freaking breather. But while she's there, she gets a freaking letter from freaking Carwin talking about some let's talk alone in your house at 11 o'clock. I promise I won't try to hurt you this time. And Claire was all like, holy guacamole, why can't this bum leave me alone? But then she thought about it and figured she ain't got nothing left to lose and that she was freaking afraid of this bum. And now she's not afraid anymore. So she decides to meet him at 11 at her house. And she stops by her brother's house first. But Theodore and Kathy aren't there. Louisa is, but she was in a room and she thought they were downstairs. Apparently not. Weird.
Chapter 16.
Claire makes it back to her house, but the light is on in her freaking room. Like, I know she has a meeting, but does it really have to be in her freaking room? Anyways, she knocks and the lights go off and stuff, and at this point, she's already got that knife behind her back because, frankly, this bum ain't even worth her time. Anyways, she's exploring the house and lighting candles, and she's thinking about how nice it would be if some of those freaking ghost voices, you know, saved her butt, like last time. And she gets her wish. Maybe, because a voice shouts at her as she goes to the stairs. Might have been the bum, might have been the ghost, who knows. But she goes to her room and nothing's out of place. Except for a note on her desk from Carwin that says, yo, I'm sorry we couldn't meet, but you're gonna see something real ugly. After reading this note, Claire looks on her bed and sees Kathy's dead body. Wow, who does this bum think he is? How is Claire gonna tell her brother? Holy guacamole!
Chapter 17.
Stomp, stomp, stomp. Who's coming up the stairs? It's Theodore! Uh-oh. He walks in the room, sees Claire crying up a storm. He knows his wife is dead. He starts saying some crazy nonsense and walks all up in Claire's face, but then there's footsteps outside and he runs out. Who else shows up? Some weird dude named Mr. Hallett from Mom's side of the family. And Mr. Hallett is all like, hey, you need to go to Mrs. Bantine's house while I sort all this out. But Claire is all like, shouldn't I go to my grieving brother's house? But Mr. Hallett is having none of it. And he doesn't even explain why Claire must go to Miss Bantine's house. This is very, very suspicious. And Claire was able to guess why Mr. Hallett is being so weird about Claire checking in on her brother and his kids. It's because the kids are probably dead too! Yowza! Not even our homegirl Louisa was spared. She went to check on Louisa's body to give it the official goodnight kiss, but the face looked like a mashed potato! So now, Claire has a fever and is going freaking delirious! Chapter 18. Guess who finally shows up in town? Claire's Uncle Tommy. He's a doctor. And when they had their meeting, she cried a lot. But then Uncle Tommy was like, who did this nonsense? And Claire was like, Carwin did it with his lies and his voodoo magic and his prisoner status. But Uncle Tommy was like, somebody had to help him, though. Carwin might have plotted it, but he can't do it all himself. We got witnesses, y'all. And Claire was like, well, don't tell me who it is for my sanity, please. But you see, the thing is, Uncle Tommy tells Claire that she has some terrible friends that might have been keeping homegirl out of the loop. So he gives her a transcription of the murderer talking at the trial and dips. And obviously Claire's gonna read it, even if it might kill the cat.
Chapter 19.
guess who takes the stand? Freaking Theodore. And he openly admits to killing his wife and kids. But he also thinks he had a very good reason to murder his family and can't believe everybody thinks he's crazy for doing it. So it all started on the day when he was waiting with Kathy for Claire to come over on her way back from the city. It was taking too long, so Theodore decides to go see if Claire's at her house. Anyways, his mind is wandering everywhere and stuff, and he's going a little cray-cray because when he's walking up the stairs to Claire's bedroom, he sees a bright light, and he turns around, and some ghost tells him that if he loves God, he has to kill his wife. So he runs home, tells his wife Kathy that she needs to come with him to Claire's house. And Kathy does, because now she's all worried about if Claire's okay. And when they get there, Kathy sees this weird look on her hubby's face. And Theodore is like, "Hello, wife. I have to kill you. God says so. Sorry, hon." So just as Kathy starts screaming, he like chokes her to death, then starts laughing and singing "Praise the Lord" like a lunatic. But he finally calmed down. God was happy. Well, God was happy until the ghost told him he had to kill his kids, too. Chapter 20! Claire didn't want to read anymore. This is too freaking nuts. She fainted. Uncle Toby woke her up. Homegirl was sick for days. But then she got curious again and felt like killing the cat, so she kept reading. So the court was obviously like, "You're ridiculously guilty, dude." But Theodore was like, God's plan. I'm not afraid of death. I'm gonna go to heaven." What a weirdo. Uncle Tommy walks in and sees Claire reading, and he gets all worried that she's gonna faint again. But Claire is like, "I'm not woozy anymore. I'm just baffled." Claire asks if her brother was gonna get the guillotine for this, but no. He's just gonna be thrown in prison forever because he's cray-cray. Then Claire's like, "Wait. Does this cray-cray run in my family?" And this is what Uncle Toby told Claire about how her grandpa got super depressed because his brother died when they were kids. And, like, finally, when his grandpa got married, he got over the depression. But then he literally jumped off a cliff at a family picnic because he was hearing voices. And then Claire was like, so am I crazy for hearing voices? Was Henry crazy for hearing voices? Do I need to jump off a cliff?" And Uncle Tommy hit her with the Yukazimi. "No, you don't. Get a hold of yourself, lady." Anyways, Claire thought about the voice that helped her that one time and the freaky evil voodoo voices that Carwin is totes the one responsible for. They have to be at odds with each other, right? But are they? I mean, Theodore wouldn't have murdered his fam if he didn't actually believe it was God's plan. Chapter 21. Okay, so now Claire doesn't even want to leave the house or talk to anybody anymore, except for Uncle Tommy. Tommy did have a chat with Henry, though. I mean, she doesn't even like Henry anymore, and the only thing she wants from that man is a rootin' tootin' apology. I mean, apparently, he showed up while she was unconscious, so maybe he's getting his just desserts. Maybe he just feels guilty, you know? She also found out that Henry's dead European girlfriend wasn't really dead and just faked it so she could sneak away to America to be with Henry. So basically, she was always the side chick. Anyways, Uncle Tommy wants to take care of her in Italy or France or whatever, and he isn't taking no for an answer. So Claire decides she wants to at least visit her brother in the dungeon, but when she told Uncle Tommy, he was just like, "Why though?" And Claire was like, "Because he's my freaking brother, you fool, and I have to help fix his cray-cray." But Uncle Tommy lands a counter-hit punish by telling Claire that if she fixes the crazy, Theodore's gonna lose the reason why he killed his family and be in despair forever. I mean, she doesn't know if it was God's plan, Carwin, Satan's plan, or just some family cray-cray. So she decided she's just not going to say anything. But Uncle Tommy still doesn't want her to go. And the reason why is that Theodore heard voices again, escaped from prison, and is literally trying to kill Henry and kill Claire. This is some Resident Evil 3 boss fight insanity, okay? So yeah, Claire's leaving in 2 days, but she kind of wants to pay respects, and she really wants to get her diary. So she runs off to do that without telling anybody. Godspeed, girl, Godspeed. Chapter 22. So Claire enters her house to get her diary, and it's creepy, and it's quiet. As she walked past her family graves, and everything's hitting her at once, and she wants to die now. So she grabs a knife to stab herself to death, and just as she's about to do it, Carwin shows up, and she faints from the shock. So then she wakes up in her bed, and Carwin is on the floor looking all sad because his disaster plan worked way too well, and he ended up hurting people he wasn't trying to hurt. And Claire's just like, leave me alone, you bum. But Carwin doesn't listen to her and goes on to full-on confession mode, talking about how he was making all the voices, and he has a superpower to make voices come from any direction and location, and he's been using it as a kid, and wait. Was this a Marvel movie the whole time? Anyways, he was there at the temple when Henry was trying to convince Theodore to take that land inheritance so they could go to Europe, and he was the one who told Henry that his girlfriend was dead. Then he got the servant girl Judy to fall in love with him, giving him access to the house all the time, and Judith kept talking about how cool and awesome Claire was, so he used his superpower to talk about a fake murder to see if Claire would help out, but like, Claire thought someone was trying to murder her. Oops. He felt guilty about that. But yeah, this was just some crazy hullabaloo. I can't believe this was a Marvel movie the whole time. Wow. Chapter 23. So Carwin is still talking about his superpowers and how he kind of got obsessed with Claire. Like, he was in her room, rummaging around sometimes and reading her diary like it's a coffee table book. Typical bum behavior. So one day, when Claire was out, he started snooping around, looking for dirt on her dad, and during the search, he ended up in her closet. Then suddenly, Claire came home, and came to her room, and was gonna open her closet. So he had to use his superpower to make a ghost tell her to stop, but she didn't, and he had to come up with a good excuse to be in Claire's closet. And the best he could come up with was that he was there to destroy Claire in the most personal way. And he knew he had to run away, because he freaking ruined all his new friendships just now by that one action. But then he heard Henry come in, and he couldn't help himself. He's a bum. So of course he's gonna troll Henry again and use his superpowers to make noises like he was making out with Claire so Henry can hear. But right after that, he felt really, really, really guilty about ruining Claire's life. Then that crazy newspaper article came out, and he scheduled that meeting with Claire. But that's when he discovered Kathy's freaking dead body. So when Claire showed up, he had to run away, because Claire would think it was him, and he tried to use his superpowers to warn her. So yeah, that's when he ditched and tried to live on his brother's farmland in Philly. Chapter 24. So yeah, Carwin didn't kill Kathy, but he totally caused all of the crazy voodoo nonsense that led to this utter tragedy. And just as he was finishing the story, right on cue, we hear the kitchen doors closing, and Claire definitely hoped it was the cops who came here looking for this bad juju bum to go to justice. And Carwin didn't know if he should run away or stay because he's a bum. And it turns out it wasn't the cops. Nope. It was freaking Theodore. Escaped from freaking jail. Ready to murder his sister for baby Jesus. But Claire, who was willing to kill herself but not be murdered by her freaking brother, points at the bum and is all like, he's a talented voice actor, it's his fault. And Theodore just stared at Carwin. And Theodore was like, is this true? And Carwin was just like, I didn't mean it. And Theodore was just like, well, you better leave this house before I murder you like I did my wife and kids. And he sure didn't have to warn him twice. Carwin was out of there. Chapter 25. Claire is all like, look, I'm emotionally drained at this point, but I gotta finish the story, because if I don't put it in a book, it dies with me. She absolutely hates that Carwin got away. And now her brother is standing there, murmuring to this guy, probably debating whether to kill Claire or not. And Claire had a knife at the ready and still freaks out about the fact that she was willing to stab her brother to death. Anyways, when she finally put the knife down, he stopped his weird religious murmuring, and he talked about how it sucks that he had to kill his fam, but it's okay because God told him to, and he's at peace now. Okay? And Claire was like, wow, this guy Carwin is terrible. And Theodore was like, yep, Carwin is definitely a demon that came to tempt me into terrible deeds. But hey, he was still sent from God, so this means I gotta listen. You have 3 minutes before I murder you, okay, sis? And Claire freaked out, to say the least, and she saw Carwin watching from the doorway, so she was all like, use your superpowers and fix this, you bum! But Carwin ran away, like a bum. So Claire took that knife again and checked the clock, and 3 minutes were up, and her brother grabbed her arm, and she can't do it. She just can't do it. Claire hates telling this story and reliving it all over again. But whatever, I guess she has to keep telling it because she's probably going to die after telling it. Chapter 26. So right as Claire is ready to stab her brother in the heart, Mortal Kombat style, a loud, booming voice happens. Obviously it was Carwin, who only ran away to get his superpowers ready to work. What did Carwin's God impression say? It said, quote, Theodore, you're crazy, okay? Please stop murdering people. Sincerely, God. Unquote. And with that, Theodore came to his senses, which is bad news because he's literally realizing that murder is wrong and he murdered his whole family. That's a lot to take at once for the poor guy, so it's unfortunately not surprising that he snatched Claire's knife and killed himself with it. Claire was super sad and called Carwin in to help with the body, and Carwin kept saying, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean for this to happen, but like, that's nonsense, she wasn't listening. She doesn't give a hoot what happens to that bum anymore, really. Not even gonna matter when his judgment day comes, she thinks. And Claire decided to live in the same room where her brother died for the rest of her life, much to everybody's chagrin, but hey, it's her life, and that was her brother, right? Right? Chapter 27. So now it's 3 years later. She's not depressed about it anymore. Writing about it helped. Having to leave the house because some accident happened helped. And she feels bad for pushing away her friends like she did. Oh, what was the accident? A fire that nearly burned down her whole house and that she barely got saved from. No big deal. The house burning down was perfect, because she couldn't literally sit in the tragedy anymore. And her uncle wanted her to live with him in Europe, and she was all like, sure, whatever. And life became worth living, and she got to go to museums. Good times, good times. She realized that she still loved Henry, but Henry was straight up married to the old girlfriend now, so I mean, Carwin did his rounds and apologized to everyone, and everyone talked it out, and Claire and Henry were friends again. Then Henry's wife died in childbirth, so he moved in with Claire and Uncle Tommy and ended up marrying Claire. After Carwin's apology rounds, he went back to Pennsylvania to the farm, you know, to think about what he did, you know. Major Stewart came back looking for Louisa, but she got murdered, remember? Speaking of Major Stewart, whatever happened with his wife? Well, boy, have I got a story for you. So some dude named Maxwell from Scribblenauts hated Stewie's guts in the army. So, to get back at Stewie, Maxwell got Stewie's wife to fall in love with him and ditch Stewie with the kids. But Max got bored with Major Stewart's wife and ditched her. Oh, and cherry on top, Stewie's wife got a letter from Maxwell's wife talking about how terrible Max truly is. Wow, homegirl got bamboozled. Max even joined Claire's social circle for a bit, until some stranger stabbed Stewie. And that's when Claire and Uncle Ty were like, he's out. Nope, never again. Sayonara, Max. And that was that. And this made Claire think, If everyone had just used a little more common sense, and if everyone had improved their sense of morality a little bit more, this whole Carwin situation could have been avoided. But hey, at least Claire gets to have her happily ever after. Well, I guess it's more like wiser, smarter, not dead ever after. So I guess the takeaway question from this New York Times bestseller is this. What does it mean to be right? No, really. If we look at America today, everybody is super convinced that they're right. Is that okay? Is that really okay? I don't think it is. So here's a pro tip. Before you post on Facebook, eat a slice of humble pie. Because if you don't, you might accidentally murder your entire family and be okay with it. Don't blame all the brainwashing on the media, because you're probably brainwashing yourself. Don't be a Theodore. And don't be a bum either. Trolling has its consequences. Huh. Wow. Why Land? What a good book. Thanks, Charlie Brockie. 1798 was lit. Huh. And thus ends the first and maybe last, I don't know, this could happen again maybe, iteration of the Garbled Twistery Book Club. Wyland, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Get it in bookstores, everywhere, today. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, Bob's Discount Layaway Turkey Basters, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Next time, it's 1799 and we're digging for gold. Cash for gold. Get cash for your gold. Golden cash. Don't call Johnny. It's a bonanza. Get your gold stuff and cash for gold. Yeah, cash. Yeah, gold. Yeah.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
This guy may or may not know how to use voodoo dolls and hash browns and stuff.